When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The poisoned pill, America's Tylenol terror. The darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey to a time when American innocence, particularly its trust in everyday products, was brutally shattered by an act of insidious terror. We are heading to the bustling metropolitan area of Chicago, Illinois, in the grim autumn of 1982, where an invisible, unseen killer unleashed a wave of fear that swept across the nation, transforming a common household medicine into a silent, deadly weapon. This is the chilling, still unsolved case of the Tylenol murders. The terrifying saga began on September 29th, 1982. In Elk Grove Village, a suburb of Chicago, a 12-year-old girl named Mary Kellerman woke up feeling unwell. She took one extra-strength Tylenol capsule to alleviate her symptoms. Moments later, she collapsed and died. Her tragic, sudden passing was initially attributed to a stroke or heart attack, an inexplicable misfortune for such a young life. But Mary Kellerman was only the first victim. Later that same day, in Arlington Heights, another Chicago suburb, 27-year-old Adam Janus also collapsed and died after taking Tylenol for chest pains. His family, utterly devastated, gathered to mourn. In a horrifying twist of fate, Adam's brother, Stanley Janus, and his wife, Teresa Janus, traveled to comfort grieving relatives. They, too, developed severe symptoms after taking Tylenol from the same bottle that Adam had used. Stanley died that very day. Teresa passed away 2 days later. The pattern, though still nebulous, was beginning to form. The deaths continued to mount with terrifying speed. Mary McFarland, 31, from Elmhurst. Paula Prince, 35, a flight attendant from Chicago. And Mary Reiner, 27, from Winfield, all died within days of the initial incidents. Each case presented the same baffling mystery, seemingly healthy individuals suddenly succumbing to a rapid, agonizing demise. Doctors were perplexed, initially unable to connect the disparate cases. The crucial breakthrough came through the diligent work of emergency responders and concerned families. A firefighter and paramedic, Philip Capitelli, who had treated Adam Janus, noted that both Adam and Stanley had taken Tylenol. He mentioned this to a concerned, off-duty police officer who suggested investigators test the pills. Simultaneously, families of other victims began to realize the common thread. All their loved ones had recently consumed extra-strength Tylenol capsules. The terrifying truth was then revealed by laboratory tests. The Tylenol capsules, designed to alleviate pain, were instead laden with lethal doses of potassium cyanide, a highly toxic chemical. Cyanide is fast-acting, incredibly potent, and causes rapid internal asphyxiation, shutting down the body's cells, mimicking the symptoms of a heart attack or stroke. The discovery plunged the investigation into a frantic race against time. A serial killer was on the loose, using a common, trusted product as their weapon. The revelation sparked immediate and widespread nationwide panic. Fear gripped every household. Johnson & Johnson, the manufacturer of Tylenol, responded with unprecedented speed and scale. They issued a massive, voluntary recall of over 31 million bottles of Tylenol from store shelves across the country. a decision that cost the company an estimated $100 million in lost product and sales, but ultimately saved countless lives. The image of Americans pouring pills down their drains, discarding bottles of medicine, became an iconic symbol of the era's pervasive fear. Trust in consumer products evaporated overnight. Parents worried about their children's medication, grocery shoppers scrutinized every package, and a profound sense of vulnerability permeated daily life. The media coverage was intense, a relentless spotlight on an unseen killer. A massive federal investigation was launched, involving the FBI, local police departments, and the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. Investigators quickly concluded that the tampering had occurred after the Tylenol left the manufacturing plant, likely at the retail level. This suggested a lone perpetrator, someone who had accessed the bottles, meticulously opened them, inserted the cyanide, and then resealed them before returning them to store shelves. The search for this unseen killer became one of the most exhaustive manhunts in American history. Numerous suspects emerged over the years, each with a plausible motive, yet none ever definitively charged. One prominent suspect was James Lewis, a man who sent an extortion letter to Johnson & Johnson demanding $1 million to stop the Tylenol poisonings. He was later convicted of extortion, but always maintained his innocence regarding the murders themselves, though he claimed to know who did it. Another suspect was Roger Arnold, a man who reportedly harbored a grudge against Johnson and Johnson and had threatened to poison Tylenol in the past, but no direct evidence linked him to the actual tampering. Despite decades of investigation, countless interviews, advanced forensic techniques applied to old evidence, and substantial rewards offered, no one was ever charged with the Tylenol murders. The identity of the Tylenol killer remains one of America's most chilling cold cases. The Tylenol murders left an indelible mark on American society and consumer safety. The immediate legacy was a revolution in product packaging. The incident directly led to the development of tamper-resistant packaging for over-the-counter medications, a standard that is still in place today. Bottles were redesigned with sealed caps, foil seals, and child-proof lids, all designed to make it immediately obvious if a product had been tampered with. Furthermore, the federal government swiftly passed the Federal Anti-Tampering Act in 1983, making product tampering a serious federal offense. These changes, born out of profound tragedy, fundamentally altered how consumers interact with their medications, instilling a new level of caution and vigilance. Yet, the lack of a clear motive for the Tylenol murders remains profoundly unsettling. There was no political agenda, no clear ideological statement, no ransom demand tied directly to the killings. The randomness of the victims, united only by their choice of pain reliever, amplified the terror. It was an act of domestic terrorism on a terrifyingly personal, almost invisible scale. What truly drove the Tylenol killer to commit such unspeakable acts, dear listeners? Was it a lone, deranged individual seeking chaos? A disgruntled former employee? Or a calculating psychopath with a twisted desire to see a nation gripped by fear? The profound horror of an unknown hand, a hidden evil, reaching into our homes and poisoning our very medicine, transforming a trusted source of comfort into a deadly trap, leaves a chilling legacy. The Tylenol killer, if still alive, walks among us, a phantom of malicious intent who successfully outwitted federal law enforcement for decades, leaving behind a trail of death, panic, and an enduring question that whispers from the shadows. who poisoned the pill. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night.